Episode 13 with Hope in a Good Mood.
Welcome to Into the 99.
Keep going.
No.
Welcome to Into the 99, where we have 99 cards because Commander's number one. And we're all kind of happy today, I'm hoping.
I'm just getting picked on.
At least it's not me this time, so I'm totally fine with that.
Have we ever picked on Daniel? No, we did last time. It was Daniel for the coffee.
Yeah, because he doesn't have high-tech
coffee making skills.
In fairness, deserved.
Yeah, 100% deserving.
Such a good story.
Welcome to the show, guys. I'm Daniel.
I'm Hope.
I'm Brian.
I'm Sherman. And today's episode, we're going to talk about powering up your decks. So we're choosing this topic because, well, holidays are coming up, and some of us might get some extra cash or gift cards.
Flush with cash.
I wish I was flush with cash.
Again, what's it like to have money?
Yeah.
But, you know, considering holidays are coming around, people are going to get things like this for gifts and everything, and let's face it, if we have extra cash, we're going to spend it on cards. Let's face it. So, because of that, you know, we want to talk about how to power up your decks, what to consider when you do buy cards to upgrade your deck, and
maybe you're just tired of being the first person out in every game and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not every game is going to go every way, and not every powerful deck is going to win, but maybe you just don't want to be the person playing a deck of a two against your friends in an eight.
Yeah,
you
just need to get up to the meta. Yeah.
I do. Have you seen some of my decks? They are not good. A lot of them. That's why I have so many. Just rolling the dice till one's okay.
Well, maybe you need to pay attention to this episode then.
My decks go either turn three Avacyn or turn five I hit a second land.
I was going to say turn five land number two.
We all know that
basic land number two.
I only have two of these in my deck.
So with this, we're going to mention a couple of things here. One, we are not going to cover competitive EDH, because let's look at it this way, okay? If you're playing competitive, most likely your deck's pretty optimized.
Yeah, like you already get it. The whole point is
that you've fine-tuned that deck.
Yeah. So it's kind of pointless to talk about how to power up your competitive deck even more.
But we will do an eventual episode on CEDH in general, and also how to maybe answer some common CEDH problems, but that's not this one. This is for normal people out having fun.
Normal
people.
Yeah, and the second point we want to bring up is that this might not cover jank decks. It can help with some, but let's face it, jank decks have a certain theme or whatever, and, you know, like, certain things might not work for it. So, with that gone, let's go on and cover what we're going to talk about in the show today. So, when we want to power up their decks, and we have all this extra money, hopefully you have a lot of extra money to buy cards. One of the first things we want to do is looking to buy cards that will be used or can be used in multiple decks.
Well, because, then it doesn't really matter if it's a big money. You don't need $500. Some of the cards on this list, like Sherman was talking about, they'll slot into everything. They're going to be overall. Maybe your decks aren't running a Soul Ring and you think, maybe I should upgrade to that little bump and
Soul Ring in every deck.
Yeah, or Arcane Signet, which is the big one right now.
Classic Signet.
Classic. But, like, the example we have here is the comparison between the Delkin Ori versus Demonic Tutor. Okay? They're roughly the same price, depending on which stores you go to, all that stuff. But the Delkin Ori is an artifact, okay, compared to Demonic Tutor, which is just for black.
Yeah.
Okay?
If you're just limited.
Yeah, you're limited. You're limiting yourself to the one color. Now, if black is your favorite color, then go for the Tutor. Sure. You can still put it into, like, three-color decks, five-color decks, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, okay? But let's say you want to play, you know, a white-red deck, you know, Boros. Demonic Tutor is not going to help you.
No.
Neither is playing Boros, but
but that's their favorite combination, though.
I love it.
I love Boros, too.
So, the Delkin Ori, on the other hand, we all know it's a strong card. Having the ability to half flash is really, really strong in Magic, let alone EDH.
Yeah.
I suck at playing stuff at flash.
That's why I took your Leyline of Anticipation.
Yeah, have Leyline Anticipation in like three decks.
You just play everything there, on your own like, turn.
I can play stuff. like a pool. Why would I hold on to this?
To me, that is an auto-include card in every blue deck. Leyline of Anticipation is so good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. That's why I had to get one from Brian.
But it kind of makes sense, though. Like, that's actually something to consider, is that, like, if you're not playing it, quote-unquote, properly, then don't include it in your deck.
Yeah, just
like,
because something is strong and...
If you keep forgetting about the trigger, don't use it. Because clearly it doesn't work for you. Like, that's a very real thing.
But it's like, when I can...
Well, there's nothing worse than you're stuck in a long game, you forget to flash something out at the end step of the person before you, you start playing your turn, you're halfway, oh, I should have flashed that. I'll do it next turn.
Yeah.
And then you miss three of your drops.
Worst feeling ever, especially when you're like, oh, if I did this, I could have won, or I could have prevented someone from winning, or something like that. So, but yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay, cool. But yeah,
it feels good.
Please go on.
Please tell me how much more right I am.
Yes, absolutely.
But
go on. No, I really mean yes.
Oh. But like, we do want to consider cards that you can use in every deck, or like the multiple decks, not every single one.
Well, you're gonna get more bang for your buck out of it, right?
Yeah, and like this is especially true for lands. Like, a lot of people forget to look at lands when it comes to things like this. You know,
not me.
Well, most people. We're not most people.
No, that's true.
So, like, we're weird. We're
I do to... I do think a lot of people do neglect a land base all the time. They think that
they're looking at spells and they're looking at their creatures.
Well, because it's funner to play. Like, it's fun to drop down those like.
Yeah.
Big CMC spells and be like, yeah, check this out.
Lands are objectively not fun.
Well, yeah, it's not like, super fun to be like, well, I need a breeding pool for this, a godless shrine, and then how am I going to fetch them? Well, maybe I'll get a steam vents for this deck. Like the better your mana base is, the more it's going to drag the price of any deck up. I think that's the biggest money sink in Commander, is just the land base.
But that's the thing, too. It's also the best investment, because lands are needed for every single deck, regardless.
Well, you can play
them. Transferable.
They keep their price, too.
They really do. They are generally a good investment. Even the Shocks with their reprint only had a pretty slight decrease. But there's a few people that play at the local store we go to, and they just basically sleeve all their decks in the same ones. And move the lands and the cards they need around in between their games. So rather than going out and buying three copies of whatever it is, they bought their one mana crypt and they use it across their decks. And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might make people take 5 or 6 minutes in between games, but lots of people like to go have a quick smoke break.
Yeah, yep. Or
a snack.
Grab a snack or...
Or something along those lines, you know. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of utility lands that you can get, especially when it comes to graveyard... removal, or like just land destruction. So like, you know, you have Bajuka Bog, or you have like
my arch nemesis.
Like Strip Mines, Ghost Quarter. Was it Scavenging Ground? I love Scavenging Ground. I don't see people play that enough. In all honesty,
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's a great card. It's from once again like Amaket or Hour. No, I think it's Hour of Devastation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you. Tap it for colorless, and you can tap and sack a desert, and it's a desert itself, and you exile all graveyards.
Yeah.
Oh, so, boy.
But it's like things like that, which help, you know, like, or Field of Ruin, things like that.
Yeah, where, Field of Ruin.
Yeah, you're helping, like, you need lands, okay? They tap for colorless, but you can use them for any kind of deck. It doesn't matter, you know, like, how often do people like sit there and be like, oh, you have a Red Aquarius Tower or a Maze of If, I can't get past it or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, now you have land destruction, and I know like the social construct is no land destruction, but
don't mess with my lands.
Yeah. But we're talking mostly when it comes to that mass land destruction. No Armageddon.
I was gonna say no Armageddon,
right?
But like,
well, everyone has that opinion of no land destruction until the token player puts Guy's Cradle in. Then it's a little different. Then everyone at the table's like, all right, well.
I mean,
or Daniel with his casual Bazaar of Baghdad.
Yeah, Bazaar's Bazaar is definitely a card worth getting rid of. Yeah. I'll play it again in Moldrotha, but it's still worth destroying.
Yeah.
Exile it.
So, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm like, let's put the money into, like, Field of Ruin and Ghost Quarter at least. You know, Strip Mining is more expensive, okay? But Ghost Quarter, what, it's maybe $3-4. Mm-hmm. Field of Ruin around the same price. You know, any of those,
even if you're not playing a deck that's going to recur lands that go to the graveyard, they're still going to be useful, and they're still a really, really strong answer. You can shut someone's deck down if you destroy their one-off color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have one dual land and then just one or two.
Well, some people will keep a low... I personally will keep a low mana hand if I have the colors I need, because I know I'll draw into everything else. I don't need to worry about the color fix. I've got the colors in my hand just across the duel, so I'll play it and I'll wait till I get my other land and it'll be fine. And if somebody gets rid of one of those, that's very, very problematic.
Then all of a sudden you're 3 turns behind where you want it to be.
Or just 5 turns. Yeah. You might not hit that other color for 5 or 6 turns, depending on what deck you're playing.
And then that might only translate to playing one spell per turn.
Yeah.
If that.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. One spell per turn. No thank you. So, that's the first topic there, or first point. Second point we want to talk about is buying cards that play to your theme or strategy. Okay? So, basically, we're talking about not including things that are just-in-case spells, okay? Mm-hmm. Or, like, adjusting your deck so that things do work for your strategy, okay? So, you want to stay focused here. You want to stay on target.
I have to say, I have to comment on that one, because I go in, I prepare a deck list at home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in, just go like, here's my phone, let's just get these cards on this list. But then I start looking through the cases.
Yeah.
And my money goes elsewhere.
Cause... Well, it's really easy to look at something, see that something is powerful, and be like, well, I mean, I gotta have that Hall of Gemstones.
Yeah.
Gotta have that Consecrated Sphinx, the masterpiece one. Yep.
Yeah. But even then, it's like the example I have here for us is Omnath Locus of Mana, okay? Omnath basically says your mana pool doesn't empty, you just... You know, keep on pumping up, and whatever is in your mana pool, Omnath gets that big. So, if you have, like, 30 in your mana pool, it's 31-31. Okay? So, you might have something like a Fraley's Land of War's Fury, or a Nissa who shakes the world. Because both of those can help produce mana. Fraley's will produce mana dorks. And Nissa basically says that, like, you know, anytime you tap land for mana, you produce an extra green.
I love that's, doubling mana.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fantastic for Omnath. But then, when you, like, I'm sure you have run into people that are like this. They're like, well, if you're going to have Planeswalkers in, and one of them produces tokens, let's throw in Doubling Season.
You might need Doubling Season, guys. Yeah. You only have the one card in your deck, and you're wasting a whole second spot to maybe get that extra.
Yeah, and... On top of that, though, the moment you put in something, like, let's say you decided, okay, I will put in Doubling Season. It is fantastic. It is an expensive card.
Well, yeah, I bought one. I'm not going to... I spent $65. I got to use it.
Yeah. So, because of that, you start looking at other Planeswalkers to put in.
But you wouldn't have normally put in, especially if green in Omnoth.
Generally, yeah.
I have to say, I hate Planeswalkers. I rarely put them in decks.
They're good in some decks. They're good in some. There's lots of my decks that don't use them.
Yeah.
But there's some that are really good. I really liked the whole War of the Spark passive abilities on the Planeswalkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a big fan of that mechanic. I really liked seeing them in the uncommon slot as well.
Yeah.
And getting more kind of more options because it was almost like an intackable enchantment.
Is that where this Nissa one came from?
Yeah. And this is one of them. But so that's her.
Because I don't think I actually saw her, but if I was playing,
because that's her passive is that you're
That's what I played on Friday when I was playing Omnath. That's the one whose ultimate is your lands are indestructible. Go search for any number of forests.
Oh.
That's the one I went and
That's great ultimate.
But one thing for me with Planeswalkers is I usually only put them, have them in decks that theme-wise it makes sense. Like, I have 3 or 4 Sarkons in my dragon deck because it makes sense. You know, like, it's just serving...
Well, yeah,
as an enchantment for extra.
You're not going to build a Nicol Bolas deck without Nicol Bolas Planeswalkers. Let's be honest.
Definitely not doing that.
But yeah, like it's just in a lot of things.
Anyone who would do that,
it's Nicol Bolas.
In a lot of things, you're just not going to need those Planeswalkers for everything. Tons are good, but they really, really do make you a target. There's not many times that someone puts a planeswalker down that doesn't draw the attention.
Oh, we hit those so quick.
Yeah. Oh, so quickly. And especially if you're trying to negotiate, like, no, guys, I just want it for this one effect. I'll never ultimate it. Don't trust people
that
say that.
I've never said that either. I don't. But no, I don't know anybody that would just be like, now, you know what? They're probably right. Like Daniel with his Elspeth, he's like, I'm just using it for this. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm still going to hit
just it. Just the fact that you can.
Yeah.
The people who are always like, I don't ultimate with her. Like, I'm not going to. I'm like, if you have the opportunity and you're going to take it.
You're going to do it.
I wasn't going to take it, but the thing I was using it was in my soldier deck to make 3 soldiers a turn.
Yeah.
Yep.
And all of my soldiers had haste and 6/6.
Yeah, like she had to go.
I get that. That's fair.
Yeah.
They're a problem.
They're a problem. And that's the thing, like
in this example, Omnoth, if you just load it up with planeswalkers, all you're doing is making yourself an aggressive target instead of making Omnoth this enormous boy with all the mana you could ever want. And everybody's focusing you.
It is really easy, as we kind of started getting into, to go off theme with the deck.
Yeah.
Merit Lage's Slumber. That's a card I put into my Muldrotha deck. It was an exciting card at the time. I've never played it, but I switched all of my lands that were basics in the deck out to Snowlands. And then if I'm going to play this, why won't I play Dark Depths? And if I'm going to play Dark Depths, why am I not playing Vesuva and Thespian Stage? Yeah. So I went and I ended up for this one card that I has still to date never put on the board once. I changed out my whole land base, added a Dark Depths, added just a ton of...
And removed probably other good cards to make way for those
cards. Well, I removed a bunch of... Even if I had just replaced them with just basic lands, now it's a lot harder to fetch the colors I want. Now, I've had... Because I didn't remove them the right way at the time, so I took from my mana base, not from my cards, for that Dark Depths. So my mana-producing lands went down, and again, it was all because... This one card seemed powerful and it seemed exciting to play.
Yeah. This one card might work out one time.
So I think
maybe.
The story of this is to stay on track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep to your theme.
Like, we all do this. Let's face it. Yeah. We totally do. And
well, you get excited.
You do. You see
There's
a card.
There's so many cards.
Yeah.
20,000 something. Like, it's foolish.
You see something, you're like, now.
I have never seen this before.
This seems interesting.
This.
I wonder what I can do with it.
Well, there's never been a Friday that I've gone out and not seen a card I've never seen before. Ever.
And then it just blows your mind.
And I'm like, oh my god.
Yep.
But, what is
well, and that's why I haven't seen anyone play Merit Lage's Slumber yet. So I was all excited. I was like, well, I'm gonna get this off. It's gonna be awesome. My little enchantment's gonna lead to the big 2020 flying indestructible. And my deck is sleeved with the token. I have the foil from the vault token.
I know.
It's just sitting there, just hanging out.
He always has it out ready to go, just in case.
Yeah, and it's never done anything except sit on the board. Like it, I might start doing that with all my decks so everyone just thinks I'm packing Dark Depths in the deck. Just one sleeved Merit Lage token. What's that?
You don't need to worry about it. It never comes out. Just like how I'll never ultimate my planeswalkers.
Put that on the board. Attempt with discovery.
Okay, everyone get a strip mine. Let's go. That is a great way to do it. You know, everyone grab a strip mine or a ghost quarter or a field of ruin and just start destroying the lands. Who cares?
Strip mine won't save you from that.
Very true. Very true. Okay.
So remind yourself just not to play games with Daniel lately.
Yeah.
Like,
don't fetch lands.
Yep.
No fetch lands. Okay, so with that, let's go into the next topic here. Playing less greedy cards or high CMC cards.
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, you play dragons. So
what does average CMC 8 mean?
Like six.
That's not good.
It's not.
That's still high.
Not 8.
6, 8. It's still a lot.
Go big or go home.
Yo, it ramps. Exactly. Brian's with me.
Hard go ramp. Big, go home.
Go well, big and get sent home.
Yeah.
Because you're dead first.
No one wants to play with you.
I have a soul ring, guys. You gotta believe
me. I only have one mana ramp card. That's it. That's all I need.
No, I have so many. My dragon deck runs so much ramp.
Well, that's the thing. At least you run ramp, right? And that's the thing, okay? Unless you're finding ways to cheat out the cards you want to, that you want to play less CMC.
What a beautiful transition.
CMC spells. Yeah. It's a great transition, okay? Like, if you don't have that hard ramp, okay, so you can propel yourself to play these big CMC spells, mm-hmm. or you don't have ways to cheat it out, why are you putting in, like, really, really high casting cost cards? Like, if you put in, like, 1, 2, or 3, okay, fine. But when you have, like, 6 to 8 cards that are, like, 7, 8, 9 CMC, it's very, very pointless.
But yeah. All those big casting cards just have such great abilities.
They all have great abilities.
That's why you gotta cheat them out. Yeah. Them.
But it's like, once again, it's just like comes down to the fact of like, hey, okay, first, can you get it out fast enough?
Elvish
okay.
Piper.
Elvish yeah. Piper. Yeah. Yeah, I got one of those. Yeah.
Well, that is true, though. If it doesn't matter how big and powerful the spell is. If it's something you consistently just can't cast because the colors, the resources, the timing's not available.
It's not good in your deck. It's not a valuable card to you.
It's not that it's not good or not valuable. It's just that, like, if it's really, really good, you just have to adjust everything else. You have to lower the CMC.
But should you have overall. To adjust the whole deck for that card?
Well, what if you're playing, like a Kozilek?
Might not just be one card.
What if you're playing, like, Kozilek or something like that for, or an Ulamog for your commander? Right? They're gonna be.
Who does that?
Lots of people.
Lots of people.
Ew.
Kozilek's like a common commander. That's... People sit there with their wastelands.
Yeah.
Or wastes.
They know at one. They know at some point in time, he will come out and he's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's all you do. You just put in every artifact ramp thing you can.
And just propel itself, right? So, and that's the thing. Like, when you're playing stuff like that, you're gonna adjust your mana base and add in the mana rocks or whatever. So you can cast those high CMC spells. Okay? If you can't cast them quick enough, then you're basically dead on the board constantly. You're always gonna be the first one out. Or if not, you're the one that's gonna be picked on constantly because everyone else has an attacker and blocker and you have nothing. Mm-hmm. So you're easy pickings. Right?
Honestly, a lot of the time when I make a deck, I organize all my cards by their CMC when I'm looking. And I just get a general idea of, all right, these are my one drops, these are my two. Whatever my pile with my highest is, I usually do 6, and everything above 6 is in a 6+ pile. I will usually take out at least one of my 6 drops and 1 or 2 of anything above that. And it does make a big difference because it's easy to get distracted by cards that are super, super powerful, super exciting to, I'm going to get this problem surge off. I swear, guys, I swear.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just even are able to cut one of those out, the difference in how fast you're going to play out is going to make a difference. Every one of us is guilty of having one of those cards in our deck that just sits there. We've never cast it. It's just oh, if I get it out, it'll be so good.
I don't know what you're talking about. I get Jyn Taxis out all the time.
Yeah.
I get that, though. Like, I had that Lord of Extinction in my Marin deck for so long before I finally played it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it was, again, it was just one of those cards that I would just discard.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
For a long time. But I'm like, but the art is so cool.
It's the box top.
Yeah.
It's the CMC is high, but then it's also the timing of it. It's the same thing. Yeah, you might be able to cast it just the same as you can cast a Cyclonic Rift, but if nothing's on board, you're just sitting there holding it for 5 turns.
I think that's when I'm test playing. I see what cards that I have to hold on to, or just cards that I never see. And then I go through and I'll edit my deck and remove those cards.
Yeah.
So I just sit there, I never, like, I don't even know what card to use as an example, but if I sit there and I'm holding it, and I'm just like, 5 turns have come by, and this is a dead card in my hand. I'm just like, okay, I'll make a mental note of that, and I'll go, when I go home, let's take this apart, take out that card, find something to replace it that's either a lower CMC or might be able to help me in the interactions that I could have in that game.
Another thing I commonly do that I don't know if many other players do is when I'm building a commander deck, again, like I said, I put everything in its little pile of this is a 4-cost, this is a 3-cost. Whatever CMC my commander is for it, I look at that pile a lot closer and stuff. So if I have a 5-drop commander, that's likely what I'm going to want to play on most of the games, right? You're playing your commander. It's the general of your deck. It's a lot of themes are based around it. So you usually want your commander out. There's not many, unless it's a Loro, unless it's the Ur-Dragon, Eminence Trigger kind of thing. you generally want your commander out as quick as possible. Okay. So my way of looking at it is, if I'm holding three of these five drops and my commander's in the command zone, what am I more likely to cast? Mm-hmm. How important are these drops that are going to maybe sit dead in my hand while he's there?
And if you play your commander, are you going to be discarding any cards?
Yep. Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to, like, cutting cards, especially, like, high CMC cards. And some people are like, oh, it's so hard to decide. Well, here's what, this is what I tell people when they say that to me. It's like, okay, let's look at the 6+ CMC slot here, okay? Let's say you have decided you'll only have 3 cards from this slot, okay? And you have 10 cards. All right, you start ranking them one card at a time. Okay, first card, rank number 1. You're going to have it in. Second one, rank 2. Third one, rank 3. The fourth card you look at, you look at it like, would I rather have this card in my hand compared to the other 3 that I have in the ranks right now or not? Okay, if I don't care, I put it aside. If I do want it, which one's the lowest, like the one that I want the least? And I remove that and I re-rank everything. Mm-hmm. And I keep on going through until I've gone through all the cards and I only have those 3 that I know I really, really, really want in my deck. And that is the best way to cut the cards that way. Just decide how many you want in that slot and just rank them. And that way you just eliminate. And there's no excuses of like, oh, but if I have this out, then this will happen. No. You have to decide. There's no exception.
There's also too many. I feel like there's almost too many cards in a commander deck to look at it as like, if I have this and this, like, unless it's a specific, like,
yeah, if you're playing a combo, like, deck, yeah, you know, you're flashing a protein hook, you know, yeah, what you want to,
like,
fetch those,
yeah, cards. Yeah, but like when you're, if you're like, oh, well, if I have this one card, then maybe this will work.
Yeah, if this, then this, then you're trying to draw 2 cards out of 100, especially if you have no way to,
yeah,
go and fetch them.
Yeah. It might be an exciting combo, but oof.
But the chance of you actually being able to grab both of those cards and have the mana and have nobody mess with them
is not high.
Not necessarily worth the risk, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're better off having something that you know is going to work on its own and serve the theming of your deck.
And let's face it, okay? If you want to make something that's that has a combo, or you want to put a combo in, like we're all saying, you either have to tutor for it, or you have to have a lot of card draw so you can get to it, and you have to have a lot of protection.
Or your commander can be the piece of it. Now, like, if you're playing Tazri and your ally is one, and you General Tazri gets your ally, it's a little different. But yeah, if you're just playing like a Trotsani deck, and you're like, all right, if I get Anointed Procession out and Doubling Season and Helm of the Host so that I can make Trotsani tokens.
This is going to get crazy.
And the Trotsani tokens make Trotsani tokens. And then those Trotsani tokens make 5 Trotsani tokens.
Which, like, we've seen.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Cool.
But that's not what that deck was built around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And there's interesting interactions like that happening is one thing, but building your deck around just a weird,
hoping
obscure,
it happens.
Hopefully this comes up and it'll be really exciting if I do, is...
I love it when you find combos out that you didn't even think of.
Just something silly comes up in your hand, you're like, wait just a minute.
Wait. Yeah.
Or so like exciting. You go, I played this, and they're like, oh, so this now does that. Like, your opponent sees this.
Yeah.
And you're like... Huh.
Yes, I didn't meant to know. Do this.
I'll see that for lots of people, and then I will explain their combo to them after they are dead.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, you could have killed me like 8 turns back.
Yeah, exactly.
But...
Yeah. But like with playing less greedy cards, this comes into something that is really, really important in Magic, is that faster, good, lower CMC cards are pricier.
Yep.
So an example we have is with the tutors for black. Diabolic Tutor, we've talked about. Uncommon, it's like 50 cents, maybe $1 at most. Okay.
Costs 4, right?
Costs 4. 2 in black, okay, versus a demonic
sorcery
tutor.
As well.
Yeah, sorcery.
Oof.
Versus a demonic tutor, which is also sorcery, 1 in a black, and just lets you grab anything as well. It's
without
just
revealing.
Yeah, without revealing. Versus Vampiric Tutor. One black, instant. Okay.
And a beautiful
instant
card.
Yeah, and all you do is pay 2 life, and you get a search.
Can you get that for $2?
think it's $70.
Yeah, I think it's pretty five. It's 65 to 70 bucks.
Yeah, so like diabolic tutor, 50 cents. Okay. Demonic tutor, 25 to 30, depending on where you go. Vampiric, 65 to 70. Okay. So as we see, as we're going down lower the CMC, the pricier things get. Okay. It's because you're doing the same thing, but faster. Mm-hmm. All right. And you're paying for that price. All right. So, and we see this a lot with lands. Okay. Like we have the original dual lands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are pricey. They come in untapped.
Untapped.
But we can put in the tap lands. The dual tap lands.
Scry, gain one life.
Yeah.
So many different. They do have like a somewhat of a useful.
But we're also playing casual, so we don't need that speed.
Well, yeah, if you look at it, even the dual lands, they only speed you up one turn.
Yeah.
That's just it. If you're not playing competitive, you don't really need that. Playing a volcanic island versus just an island, you're playing that volcanic island because you need those colors as quick as possible. Yeah. Right. But again, if you just play an island, it can be just as good and stuff. It's all on what kind of meta you're playing and stuff. And not everything needs to be a 2-turn game, a 3-turn game. There's a lot of Magic games that are land pass.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the first way around.
Land soaring.
Yeah. Someone might land the Llanowar Elf or something. But generally the first turn in a just casual setting isn't the most exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first few turns was like, what do you do? Yeah, just land pass, you know. But that's the thing, like, when it comes down to it, okay, if you want to get rid of these big CMC cards, but you still want, like, the same effect or whatever, you have to search and you have to find things that will help you out, you know. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth in this later on in another note here, but let's go on just in case. We're going to talk about, first off here, having more card draw, because we all say this, okay?
Draw is king.
Now, why
except if
is
you're
that?
Paying for it.
Except when, yeah.
Or Ryan.
Like, you know,
only one of us plays Nekusar.
Oh, I draw two cards. I take 12 damage. Brian, you're dead.
Okay, if you don't have a Brian in your playgroup.
Lucky.
Even in general, without that, though, I still use the card draw. Like, I'm not deterred by putting those down because I know why I put the card draw on a deck. Yeah. I know what I'm trying to draw to.
I'll go down to 14 life to kill you.
Yeah, no people problem. Will die if I draw to it.
Daniel went down to 2 life to kill me on Friday.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm not back up to 100.
You think I'm afraid of you?
I was playing Tachiova. I put Aether Flux down with 52 life on the board. And Brian, the next turn, targeted to destroy it.
No, I said that needs to go.
Yeah.
And one of the other players targeted it. And he's like, well, Brian.
You targeted it.
No, he did.
No, you did. That's why I bolted you.
Oh, it was every player had to sacrifice an artifact or enchantment. Yes, I remember now.
You targeted
it.
That's why
every player.
Daniel targeted it.
That's why you got the 50 damage to the face. So Brian went down to like 1 or 2 life and I went down to 3.
Love that.
Yep.
Oh boy.
But you didn't win.
But I did.
I thought you said that he healed you.
No, that was a different game. This was Tachiova, and I was gaining 6 life every turn a land came in.
Ew.
Yeah. I said Brian won in his Mogus death last
disgusting.
Night. Or Friday night. Yeah.
Finally.
But Mogus won.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Go Brian's.
Something feels wrong about that.
Brian D, what are you doing?
But why would you want more card draw if you've never heard us say it?
Yeah. I want to find those cards that I want.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The biggest thing about card draw is consistency. Mm-hmm. If you want your deck to be consistent, you need more card draw. Let's not talk about EDH for a second. Let's talk about 60 card format. Okay, modern, standard, all that stuff. Okay. I know, especially modern. Okay.
What is this?
Why are those decks powerful? Why do they work?
Okay. They have multiple of the same.
They have multiples. Yeah, they have multiples because it makes it more consistent. You don't have to be like, what's going to happen next? What do I do?
Yeah, true. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why in EDH, like having draw gives you a little bit of that because 100 cards is a lot of cards.
Yeah,
to get
and
through.
It's singleton format. We can't have multiples. We can have like different cards with the same effect.
Yeah.
But we need the consistency so we know how the deck plays constantly in whatever situation.
I think that's why like my white green white enchantment deck is always like so good, because I have that Satyr, I have that Enchantress Priest, like Priestess. Every time I play enchantment, I get to draw 1, 2, 3 cards, and I'm just like,
well, and your commander is a ramp draw as well.
Yeah, Savala.
Right, and yeah, just. It does propel you towards whatever win condition you need. It propels you towards those answers. And a lot of time it does so on your terms, on your turn.
Yeah.
And see Bon Muse every turn. Oh, see Bon Muse. Well, then, like, even with Smothering Tithe, I get a treasure for every card that I make you guys draw. And then every time I play an enchantment, I'm able to draw more cards. And then
so bad.
I gotta pay.
Just, completely play my hand out.
Well, that's just it. If we're playing a game and all of us are trying to roll a 6, everyone would want the advantage of trying to roll that 6 twice. That's what card draw is. It's just another chance at hitting the answer, another chance at hitting the win.
Correct.
And that's the thing. Like, with that, like, it allows for more consistency. It allows you to play less lands in your deck as well. Because you don't need, like, 40 lands or 45 lands or anything. Because with the card draw, you're going to draw into lands.
Yep.
Let's face it. Okay, so if you're drawing like 3 cards a turn,
I'll throw 3 cards. Real nice 2-to-1.
Yeah, it's really nice. You're gonna hit those your lands for the turn. You're always gonna draw them. It's not a big deal. So because of that, you can put in less lands. If you have like 40 lands in your deck right now, let's say you take out 5 and put in 5 card draw spells instead. You're gonna see that it's going to help you, especially when those card draw spells are consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of things that, like the good card draw spells are pricier. Okay. So Rhystic Study, one of the greats. Consecrated Sphinx. Brian, you have 2 masterpieces. Of
really, really
good. Oh, I love Consecrated Sphinx.
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune.
I hated that card.
One of the most expensive ones.
Yeah.
You know? But you don't have to go for these pricey ones. You can go for budget ones.
Well, and a lot of those draw cards, too, they can also be used as a pretty good disruption. I use, in Hazoret, I don't want my hand a lot of times. So I use a lot of things to make everyone throw everything out. And yeah, like any of the Winds of Change, like Windfall. You said, Wheel of Fortune. All of those things that not only draw you closer to your answer, but get rid of what everyone else is holding. Most people don't draw their opening hand and say, I don't like any of this, it's fine.
Yeah.
They draw, they have something good, and being able to wheel it away is
brutal. Or if someone goes and tutors for that one card that they want, discard hilarious. Your hand to draw 7 more.
That's why I like...
Hilarious.
My favorite for that is in my book deck, I have Codex Shredder.
Yep.
And a lot of people, when they tutor, like Enlightened Tutor, Mystical Tutor, something like that, top of library. And the moment they do that, I'm like, nope, mill it. And they look so pissed off.
Well, and a lot of people don't know what it does, and a lot of people don't take account of the board state when they do that. They know, this is my strong card, I'm going for the win, and they tunnel vision at it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than all Tutor Fuching, Millet.
And, yeah. And that's the thing, like, I'm like, okay, like, tutors are great for that, but my favorite thing to do with it is when somebody scries. When they scry, you see that more often than tutoring sometimes, right? So if you're playing against someone that scries a lot, it's like, okay, I'll scry, I'll keep that on top, okay, I'll mill it. And they're like, crap. So now you're playing mind games with the other person. It's like, are you going to put the card that you actually need on top or a card that you don't care about to have me mill it so you can get rid of it?
You might get the one you need.
Yeah.
Do you know what else is really good with card draw?
What?
Really helps politics.
That's true.
And it really helps. Do you want to be my friend? Do you want to draw a card?
Yeah.
Are you nothing to attack me next turn? That's good. Yeah, I'll take a card.
I do not negotiate with terrorists.
So I take it you don't want to draw that card? Are you going to pay one?
So, but it is a great political tool. There are a lot of artifacts that you can use to help you with that stuff. So, like, Temple Bell is one of the most common ones.
Really enjoy Temple Bell.
Yeah.
Temple Bell's a good one.
Temple Bell's good. You just tap it and everybody draws a card. Okay.
That's how you make a friend.
Yeah. Howling Mind, if you have that...
3 friends.
Yeah. Howling Mind, if you have that out, most people won't attack you right away. They'll attack other people because...
Oh, they want the card draw.
They want the card draw. Okay? Everybody loves card draw. So, if you have these... candy. Yeah, it is.
It's candy.
Yeah.
You know, they're fun, fun coupons. Fun coupons. Everyone gets some.
Yeah.
I've never heard of those.
Brian's never had fun in his life.
That's why he plays Nekusar and Mogus.
Who are you?
I've had a trouble pass.
But more card draw, well, when you have that, you know, for budget options, like, artifacts are the way to go, in my opinion. Just because they're, once again, they're good for any deck out there, because there are, they're colorless. It makes no difference.
I like Howling Mine.
Me too.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
So many people are like, why would you put it in a Howling Mine?
Well, it helps everyone. Yeah, well, get over it. Let's play the game.
I'm playing games with
friends.
I hate
it when you help me.
I just like to see people play Magic. I don't care if people, like, that's why I made a group hug deck in general. I just like to see people play the game. I want to see what their idea for a deck was.
Yeah, I don't want to see you play, like, and be limited by the fact that you didn't get any land.
I call BS, know? Daniel, but...
No, I've seen it.
No, you've played my group hug deck.
Oh, no. I'm saying on Friday, I call it.
But most people want to see, like, I want to see, like, how your deck's going to go, you know? Like, and I think it's cool and it's fun. And, like, I wouldn't have made that deck. So, like, what do you want it to do?
Well,
like,
then you get to see those combos that you had no idea about. And you're just like,
I want to do that.
I've talked a lot about I lose games constantly because rather than just close it out, I just want to see what's going on.
Yep.
I just want to see what people are doing and stuff.
And again, it's competitive, not CEDH.
Casual.
The other CED.
When I'm playing, like, competitive and stuff, I will close a game out turn two or three, for sure. Because that, the whole point, everyone wants to see the win.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, I just, sometimes it's fun to sit with 300 tokens on deck.
I have these other 98 cards that I need.
Well, yeah, I just really like to see how people build a deck, because even, we were recently talking about Slimefoot. And Brian has a Slimefoot deck, I have a Slimefoot deck, and someone who's new to playing EDH, his first deck he put together is a Slimefoot deck. It's really fun to see how different people build these decks, what they slot in. His was like a really budget-friendly version. Mine's a big token generator, as most Slimefoot ones are. Like, it's just nice to see how people play their decks. And even if it's the same deck list, Sherman and I are going to play the same deck differently.
Totally.
We have different play styles. So I just like to see what people have to do, and it loses me games all the time, but I'm not playing to just try win the game.
We do that even all the time, like when we're just playing one-on-ones at home. Like, if I play one of your decks, I play them very differently.
Yeah. You swing?
Yeah. But even, like, the combinations that I would use are things that you just wouldn't do, because, like, you've been playing Magic for so long that you have these habits, and the way that you think about the game is very different than the way that I think about the game.
Well, even the Aetherflux play we were talking about earlier when Brian targeted it, I could have just taken another player out of the game on the way out and still been further ahead, but I thought it'd be funnier to bolt Brian.
Yeah.
Who doesn't enjoy bolting Brian?
Yeah. Brian and the bird both.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a cooked goose.
Peking duck. Ooh, we should go for Peking duck.
Stop, Sherman. You're always hungry.
Me too, Sherman.
What? Why can't I be hungry?
I just relate to you on a deep level. Let's just do this.
I just like to eat.
Peking duck.
Technically speaking, am I the smallest of all of us?
Absolutely. Yeah. It sure ain't me.
I don't know who's the smallest, but I do know who's the biggest.
I know you're the biggest.
Yeah. So
I'm like, what, 10, 20 pounds heavier?
I don't know. I need to see you eat, Daniel. I've never seen you eat before, so I don't know how much you eat.
This is turning into a very awkward conversation.
Stop body shaming him.
I want to see you eat, Daniel.
Yeah. I want to watch you eat.
I'm always hungry. I'm sorry.
Can we talk about Magic, please?
Okay, so food tokens?
I was going to say food
tokens. Sherman's hunger is magic.
It is. Baking a pie.
All right, how else do we power the deck up, guys?
Okay, we're moving on here.
All mana. Right.
With food, apparently.
Yeah, apparently food. We want to improve your mana base. Okay, let's keep going. We want to find ways to improve your mana base. Okay, the best way to do that, once again, either put in more land, within reason. Okay, we're not saying put in like 60 lands. Like, that's just crazy.
That'd be interesting.
That is wrong.
If your deck requires that, fine. Okay.
What deck requires that?
Requires 60 lands.
I don't know. I'll probably make one.
Maybe reevaluate your life.
Wing Race, I could see.
I have 99 cards, and they're all lands.
Yeah. So, but like, we want to mainly look at like, mana rocks and mana dorks, okay? Mostly mana rocks, all right? And most mana rocks that people use are going to be 1, 2, or 3 CMC, okay? But we're going to talk about the 2 CMC mana rocks here, because those are probably the best ones. Because 1 CMC is Sol Ring, like mana vault, things like that. They're pricier and whatnot, but 2 CMC mana rocks, a lot of people can afford and can get. But people don't really play them as often as 3 CMCs, okay? Or they play Signets, of which...
Signets.
You have to pay 1 mana to get it.
Yeah.
The only Signet is Arcane Signet.
Yeah. I hate that's the Signets.
And we've discussed this before, okay? If you're playing like a 3, 4, or 5 color deck, do not put in the Signets, okay? It's just not worth it, all right? There's other better 2 CMC mana rocks, okay? There's Mind Stone. We already mentioned Arcane Signet. Fellwar Stone. Cold Steel Heart. Things like that that let you, like,
any of the diamonds, too, like Sky Diamond, yeah. Like those, Fire Diamond. Those are good ones. They're a little slower and stuff, but they are still ramp. And if you know that you're not, if you don't have a ton of low drops, then it coming in tapped,
Or well, if you're then a there's color. Also those artifacts that...
The medallions.
That cause the spells to be one less.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, that will help cheapen everything up, too.
Those are good in lots of decks, yep.
And like... If you're playing like multicolor, like 3, 4, or 5, you know, like the medallions might not be as good. Signets, we're definitely like saying no to.
Those medallions are really, really good in monocolor.
They're fantastic. Yeah. They're so good.
Monocolor or single, like dual color is really, really solid, especially if you're running something like Grand Arbiter or Augusta and you're already getting that discount on it.
Augusta.
You're getting a lot of good ones. But yeah, in any monocolor deck, like a medallion is so good.
Well, and you also have those temples or whatever from Amonkhet or Our Devastation.
Where it has a second ability.
This white spells now cost one less, and whenever you cast a white creature, you get a 1/1 soldier out.
Like, yeah.
Or the green one, get the creatures monuments. Get +2/+2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, those are foolish. Make my spell cheaper, plus I get a bonus off of it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, throwing in stuff like that makes a huge difference. Like, especially, like, the monuments and the medallions if you're playing, like, in those colors. Because instead of just, like, let's say, like, you're casting 3 spells, okay? Now you're getting a discount on 3 mana total, okay? That's a lot. Let's face it, that is a lot, okay? So, doing that helps a lot. Playing things that are like more fetch lands, if possible. Like, you know, there's Terramorphic in Evolving Wilds. Okay, Myriad fine.
Landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myriad Landscape is a great one. Okay, because it's like tap 4 colors and then tap 2 and tap it and
sacrifice 2.
Go get 2 lands.
Yeah. And once again, we're like Social Construct, we normally don't destroy lands. So,
especially we're polite one like that.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
Well, why blow it up when they're just on sacrifice to go get it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's blow up whatever they go and get.
Yeah. But like,
yeah, there are two kinds of people.
Yeah. Fetch lands, I love a lot because, one, it gets you, lets you get whatever colors that you're missing or you need.
Yep.
And two, it helps...
thin out land.
Yeah, it thins out your deck. Thins out the land so you can draw into your spells more likely. Okay. Yeah, sure, it's just one card, but sometimes that one card makes a difference, especially if you're doing it 3 or 4 times.
Well, needing the color is not good. If you're sitting there holding a handful of just really, really banging black spells with no black mana, that's not good.
Oh, we all know how that goes.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Brian sitting there waiting for a land.
My Nekuzar had blue-red, no black, and I was just like, can I go get a swamp, please?
And I'd be the kind of jerk and be like, no, I'll take that one swamp from you and I'll trade you for something else. I am that jerk.
Yeah, I've seen you do it.
Yep.
What was that, Brian? You needed that red source? No, I'll take it now.
That's so mean.
But, like, improving your mana base is a big, big deal in EDH, especially since you need it to cast spells, and you want to cast multiple spells a turn. And
well, and again, consistency is such a good thing, right? Being able to consistently have the colors you need.
I think you have to pay attention more to your mana base as soon as you start jumping up to 3, 4, or all 5 colors.
I love playing 5-color decks and stuff. Me too. Yeah, Hope has the Ur-Dragon kind of stuff. I love Slivers, obviously.
I've never
4 or 5 are like my favorite color. Favorite.
Like your land is so important if you're going. Like that's the main thing that you really want to focus on. You're like, oh, I'm gonna throw all these cards in here. But if you don't get the colors you need,
you might as well not even have them. Such a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, and if all the cards in your hand are like a majority of the cards are 2 colors, then why are you playing a 5-color deck?
Yep.
Yeah. So improving your mana base, big deal. Okay. Another thing is, we were kind of talking about this a little bit before, is looking for cards that do the same thing but have a lower CMC.
Yeah, exactly. So, like we were saying, the demonic and diabolic versus the vampiric, right?
Yeah.
One's going to cost a little more, but it is going to power your deck a large amount. And there's lots that do similar things.
Yeah. Like, my favorite is Butcher of Malakure versus Dictate of Erebos. Okay. Because, for me, like, in my Crab Ragna deck, I have Butcher of Malakure in it because when I had Dictate of Erebos, it was more powerful because Dictate costs 5, while Butcher costs 7. And Dictate also has Flash.
Yep.
So it was just way, way more powerful. Dictate costs, like, I don't know, like, what, $15 or something like that? Butcher's like $3-4. So it's, like, the price difference is
your extra mana.
Yeah.
But then again, as well, if you look at the effect, they both do similar things. It's a lot easier to kill and remove a creature than it is an enchantment. I was just going
to
say,
it's so easy to get rid of a Butcher.
Yeah. And there's so many different things. Like Magic is full of cards and spells that do the same thing, but cost different amounts of mana.
Okay. Well, yeah, sometimes they have to water it down a little bit because it's a little too strong to be able to continue on in its normal format.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The best example that we have here is Counterspells, okay? You have the original Counterspell.
Yeah, two blue.
Versus something like Cancel, which is 1 and 2 blue. They both do the same thing. It's just Counterspell costs 1 less.
Yep.
Okay.
So lets you counter earlier, it lets you counter and use other mana as well. It's 1 mana is a big difference. There's lots of games that I could have won with 1 more mana.
Yeah. And like I see like things like this constantly. I'm sure everyone else has as well. And like you have things like Murder. Okay, people play Murder, especially for budget decks and everything, because Murder is a common. You know, 1 black-black to destroy a target creature. Fantastic, okay? But what if you put in something like Anguish Done Maykeen, all right, where it's 1 white and black, so you have to be in white as well. You lose 3 life, but you exile target permanents, or non-land permanent, I think it was. Okay, so you get around indestructibility. You don't have to just target the creature. You can target like an enchantment, artifact, whatever, stuff like that. And it's just more flexible overall. And that's the difference between the two things. They both have 2 CMC costs. Granted, one's a white and a black, the other one's just pure black. Okay, but 1 destroys target creature, the other one exiles a permanent. It is a big, big difference.
I think I have to take the exile.
Yeah.
Always. Almost always.
Especially in EDH. Like, how many times do we encounter something that's indestructible? Let's face it, it's annoying.
So many times you just go, oh, I don't like that. I destroy
that. Indestructible or comes back if someone's playing Marin.
Yeah. Or Carador.
Are you just attacking me today?
Everyone has their day, Hope.
Yeah. Today's yours.
What? It's fine. It's good. I like it. It's great. Feels good.
Makes you feel alive.
But like this does sometimes, like these replacements are easy. You ask people, they come up with suggestions, and it's quick. Other times you have to do the research. You have to go searching for the card. You have to try to find it. So like using resources like EDH Rec or the Wizards Card Database Gatherer, things like that. Helps a lot here. It goes a long, long way.
Well, another thing that a lot of people forget, talk to people.
Yeah.
You know? Mention it to your playgroup and stuff. Does anyone know, I'm not really having kind of luck playing this card. Like, is there anything similar? is there something else I can be doing that does something similar, something that you can suggest? Because other people are going to think about it in a different light than you do.
Yeah.
I get lots of great suggestions that I never would have considered because maybe not my current super focused play style, or it's just not a card I'd heard of.
And let's face it, like the Magic community overall, the majority of the people are very, very friendly. They want to give out the advice. They yeah. want to help everyone out. And
which is by far my favorite thing about playing Magic.
Yeah. Real time. Like you can be the crappiest player in the world and you'll be like, hey, can someone help me out? And then like 12 you'd people
have
like, oh.
Yeah, you'd have a full table full of pals
yeah.
coming over to
like here, oh, you deck. Need this here. You can just have this card. It's okay. How about this? Does anyone have this card? You know? It's really, really great.
It's dope.
Yeah.
It's Magic the Gathering, the trading card game.
Trading? No. Here, take this stack of tranquilities, okay? Or like giant growths. There you go.
I do need some of those if you want to hit.
Yeah, if you got it. If you, where is that stack?
It's in a hockey bag in a closet.
Got you.
Okay, just gotta find it.
Yeah, we'll grab that after.
Yeah. Okay.
So, one of these days, you guys are actually going to start going through it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to notice. I'm like, oh, like,
you guys seem excited about it, but I really don't think you understand. It's probably like a million cards.
Yeah, we still don't care. We're still going to take it.
All right, go get down. So, get your bad cells.
It's like the ongoing joke on the podcast now.
Along with everything else we're that we talk take about. Those. Okay.
We'll post a picture of one of the rolling bags of cards today.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, next episode, we talk about the rolling bag.
Yeah,
how it rolled right into my car.
the next episode's just a story.
Somebody stole my bag.
Oh, this is exciting.
We found a Lion's Eye Diamond today for a really, really good price. Free.
And then the next episode, so there's a police file.
Restraining order.
We've actually kicked Brian and episode Sherman 15, off the podcast.
Daniel's angry.
Okay, last note here, last point. We want to look for cards that have repeatable effects. Okay. We've talked about this many times. You've probably heard from other people many times. Okay, you want to like have things that will constantly do the same effect again and again and again, if possible. Okay.
Well, if it's important in the deck, yeah.
Yeah. So there's like one of my favorite things is Isochron Scepter. Okay, because like if you're playing
it would be.
Isochron is so good,
but like I, you know what? I don't put a counter spell under Isochron Scepter. Okay?
All right,
I put.
You know what? You're okay, Sherman.
But I always don't throw it into janky stuff. Right?
I told her not to speak too soon.
Well, because like I'll put a Dawn Charm underneath it.
A lot of people don't know as well that you don't have to say what you're putting under Isochron when you cast it.
I'm going to put a bolt on it.
Because it's when it enters you, Exile. It doesn't enter till it's resolved.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But lots of people are like, Isochron counterspell. And everyone's like, well, no.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to counter that.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
I wouldn't let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
I have that in my Saga deck where I have Isochron Scepter, but I throw in things like Revitalize because it was supposed to be a budget deck and I didn't have any card draw, so I put in Isochron Scepter so I put in things like Revitalize so I can gain 3 life while drawing a card.
I mean, that's it's an bad. Answer.
Yeah.
It's an answer to a problem.
Angel's Grace. Angel's Grace.
You don't have to be the worst when you play an Isochron.
No, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. Like
if you take anything away from this episode, take away that.
My favorite actually is putting like Boomerang or Unsummon under the Isochron Scepter. It's like, okay, that can go away. That can go away. That can go away.
Okay, Brian wants to a real man. Be a Brian. Yeah. Group slug.
No, I'm starting.
Don't roll your eyes at me.
I didn't roll my eyes at anyone.
Isochron Cyclonic Rift to assert your dominance.
I would do that. I would totally roll with that.
That's
can
nasty.
You overload that still?
No, you cannot.
No, you cannot.
Because you don't
no,
pay
you can
the
only target.
Cost.
Yeah.
Gross.
So, or what? Another fun one is for blue, it's called Meddle. Meddle. So it's basically like if it's instant for one in a blue. But like anything, when a person casts a spell that targets a single target, you can change the target of that spell to something else of your choice.
Cool. Right? That's pretty good.
People
that's
don't expect funny. It. It's hilarious, especially if you show people.
See,
that's that
you
the
can kind
do
of chaos that I'm
basically
into.
Like a redirect. Yeah,
yeah, it's redirect every single time. Like, okay, like does the target one? Yeah, okay. I choose that one instead, or like I'll point it at you. That's fun.
I'll give you a gift. It's back to you.
Or if
they're trying to buff something of theirs, you'd be like, I'll take that. Thank you.
I've also done it with some spell called an old one, Eye for an Eye. Mm-hmm. So it's a white spell,
love
two
Eye
white.
For an Eye.
Yeah.
Love
basically
it.
Any a source that would deal damage to you deals you could cast it to deal damage to the opponent. So if they fireball you for 20, you cast Eye for an Eye, they take 20 damage as well.
So it's like a cheaper deflecting palm?
Yeah. So, and you throw another Isochron, and people see it, and then they start to calculate, right? So they're like, I don't really want to take that damage if I attack you, so I'm going to attack this guy instead.
Yep.
So.
That's a good deterrent.
Yeah. But there's, like, so many other things that you have repeatable effects, you know? Like, when it comes to, why is Lightning Greaves, Swift Foot Boots, things like that so important? It's because you can move around the Shroud or the Hexproof. Yeah. It's fast, you know? You can give people haste. So that's repeatable. You can give different creatures haste. And you can also protect your creatures. As opposed to something like a Ranger's Guile or a Hypatra's Mark, where it's like hexproof, okay? There's like, Blue has a bunch of those where, you know, like, you give things hexproof or shroud. And they're normally instances, but it's just a one-time effect. After that, you just don't care. It's just a one-time thing. When you have that repeatable effect on the board, it makes it very, very difficult for your opponents to interact with you, okay? And with that, it helps you in the long term, okay?
So well, I always want to get the bang for my buck.
Yeah. Well, everybody does. You want that value.
Yep.
Okay? And the best value is things that are repeatable, because you pay for it once, and it keeps on doing the same thing again and again and again.
Until buy someone removes it. And everything like that.
Yeah. Okay, but when you're paying for like an instant or sorcery spell, you only get one chance for it, unless you have like flashback or you use a snapcaster or something like that, and then it's basically gone for the rest of the game. You can't really use it, you know.
The ability to get the double value out of any of your cards that's actually why I like the storybook frame cards so much. It's two cards on one.
Yeah, with the adventure,
you're doubling up a lot of your value and stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you can bounce it to your hand, you're increasing it a lot. Like, those are so, so good in Chew Lane, because you can get their adventure, you can get their creature.
Yeah. I love most cards that have those dual effects, or, like, the choices. Like, I love the charms. I love the split cards.
Yeah, choose a mode, any of those. They're all...
Yeah.
Any of the confluences and stuff. They... Just the ability to have a card that does three or four different things. It's like you've slotted three cards into your deck in the place.
Yeah. Like, you have, like,
many different answers.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, I don't know. Those cards.
Oh, they're great.
There's a lot of value in them.
I like the art, but I just haven't really taken the time to look through them.
Oh, yeah, all of them. I just built Massacre Girl yesterday, and I put Wretched Confluence in it, and it's really good. It's got a draw option in it. It has, I think, a zombie option. Like, it's got a lot of really, really good, like, three, all of them have three things, Mystic Confluence, any of those. They just are so, so good, because they give you the answer you might need. They are, like, if you had three cards in your deck that were those options for most of these, they'd be really good spots. So all of the option cards, all of the, like you said, the Rakdos charms, the Mant charms, any of those, the get rid of an enchantment, hit people for their creatures.
There's so many good options. And that's the thing, it's just the flexibility that everything gives you. What the heck are you guys doing?
Hope doesn't seem to understand that whispering she's yawning to Brian into the microphone picks up on the microphone. Hope. You talked into the mic. You whispered it into the mic. Like,
I turned my head the wrong
way. We're all here with headphones on. And she's, no, I was yawning. That's what I was doing, guys.
Get off my case.
But you know what? I appreciate the courtesy. You tried to whisper it.
Oh. We can edit that out, but we never do, because it's not as much fun.
Well, I don't think we can now.
Oh, too late.
We can, and I won't. You deserve the shame.
Okay, so, but yeah, like, we want to think they're repeatable. We want that value We're going way off topic now because everyone's laughing and we can't concentrate anymore. So
I think we've hit a lot of our main points. Kind of everyone at some point is going to need to power a deck up. There's just going to be some. Your playgroup will have evolved. You just suddenly can't compete with what you currently had. And a few cards might make the difference. They might bring your win rate up, and maybe you don't want to win every game. Maybe you want to focus on a more fun thing. You don't want to run super powerful things in every deck. But not everyone wants to lose every game, right? Everyone at some point is going to want to, maybe this weird deck that I put together, maybe I could make it actually function this way,
right? Yeah, totally. So, and the thing is, like, to power up your deck, you don't have to spend a lot of money, you know? Some of the points that we mentioned here is the opposite. You're not spending money, you're spending less money, because it's like, okay, taking out cards and adding lands or something like that. Whoop-de-doo. Exactly. Like, go to some LGS and be like, hey, can I have like 5 basic lands? They're like, yeah, sure, just go nuts. Don't pay for it. We don't care.
Take what you need, homie.
Yeah. So, things like that. So, just take things into consideration. So, but other than that, like, you don't have to spend a lot of money, but it is a holiday season. There are some cards that you look and they're like, it's pretty, it's shiny, it has alternate art.
Full art Urborg.
I want it.
Oh, gotta have those full art. The land ones?
Expedition
lands. Yeah, the Expedition ones.
They're beautiful. They are beautiful.
Like,
stay within your budget.
stay in budget. No, but that's the thing, like, the more they come out with stuff like that, the more I'm just like drooling over it. I'm like, I'm poor for a reason.
Yep.
So yeah, Magic is not a cheap hobby.
It can be.
Yeah, it can.
You don't need to have 150 decks. You don't need to run Bazaar of Baghdad.
You don't need to beat anyone.
Not everyone needs to put Tabernacle of Pendrell in their cast deck. I get it.
Yeah, don't be a DeBrian.
DeBrian.
Anyways.
Let us know how you like to power up your decks. Thank you again, as always, for listening. Oh.
Yeah, there's a card that we didn't mention. Like, there's so many. Again. Like we said, there's like, what, 20,000 cards? There's something that might be amazing to power up your card that we don't even know about.
Well, and if anyone sees our deck lists and ever has a suggestion, I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what you think. Because, I like to think of things in a one way. I build a deck with a goal. But that doesn't mean I built it right.
Yeah. I always have cards that people will look at and do a double take on. Like, my last one I did was Noetic Scales. For my book tribal, because it's like an artifact where it says, like, during a player's upkeep, if you count how many cards are in the opponent's hand, if they have creatures with greater power than the number of cards in their hand, they bounce those creatures back to their hand. So, yeah, it's hilarious. It's so hilarious. But anyways, if you have any other suggestions for cards, or you have anything that's really, really fun that you like to use,
or just want to talk Magic, hit us up.
Or talk Magic, yeah.
Pop into Discord, because we love talking about Magic. You can see the energy and the passion that we have for the game and the podcast. Like, come in, talk to us, like, or engage with us on our Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, let us know how we're doing. You know, if you have any suggestions for topics, hit us up with it, you know? We'll look into it. We'll talk about it. All that stuff. It might take some time because we have like a list of topics that we want to get to. But other than that, I think that is the show. So catch you all later.
Thank you for listening.
Peace.